It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Reading you the internet since 2006, Nightside on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome into the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Miller here with Alex Keery.
What's the deal? You refuse to put headphones on? Is that the,
there aren't any here. The engineers have changed the game. The engineers have changed the game. So it used to be that these were professional studios that supplied professional equipment. But now everything's changed.
Well, so, you know why? You know why? Because I get emails every so often now that say, by the way, someone stole my headphones. Like, there's like a lot of the, if anybody sees these headphones, and they do like SLC all.
Well, and you know what? We never used to get that. You know why? Because there was never any question. The engineers kept headphones in all the studios, and it was like, it made it actually really a nice place to work. So, look,
it made it
all
a
I'm
nice
saying,
place to work that they put headphones in the studio.
All I'm
for
saying,
you.
Alex, if you want me in headphones, you're welcome to have a talk with engineering.
I'm going to buy you a sundress, too, and make you wear that next show, too.
Hey, this is the first time we had a chance to chat since the Super Bowl.
The Superb Owl? You can't say Super Bowl on.
Yes,
Kansas
I can.
Super Bowl.
No, I just can't make.
Can't make money off of it.
I can't do it in an ad. Okay. Look, I'm up to speed on the Super Bowl rules because I listen to KSL Unrivaled. So it's I know how you and Scott broke it all down, so it's fine. Now
it can't even be the big game anymore because the XFL has that one too.
The big game?
No, it's not the big game. Can't say the big game anymore either. It's like the event, the yearly sporting event.
You know what we're talking about. Wink, wink.
Okay.
We're doing a big, you know what we're talking about, sale on hot wings, right? Everyone knows where we're going with this. Okay,
can't say wings. Cannot
they're
say
a dollar
wings.
Off.
Cannot say wings.
Can't say wings.
Winglet.
Is it because of Buffalo Wild Wings?
I don't know.
For goodness sakes.
Yeah, I can't use all those. Okay, so we haven't talked since Superb Alley.
Yeah, I was pleased with how it went because you know I like Patrick Mahomes and
sure,
you know he's been like a son to me. And I was just really so proud.
Yeah.
And the big come from behind win, always loved that. I think even the 49ers had to have grudgingly appreciated
it. Not them. No, the players don't. You know what's interesting is I was listening the next day to some sports radio and they.
I mean the fans.
Oh, yeah.
Not the players.
No, for sure. No.
The players are always
going
to take it personally. The players are always going to take this personally.
I had a real like moment where I respected Raheem Mostert, who's the running back for. The 49ers, he went on the next day to the Dan Patrick show, like the morning after they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, and typically that's a little bit of a no-fly zone. Those guys are like, I'm on vacation, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
And then they go to a dark place. But what Dan Patrick show did that was smart was they asked guys before the Super Bowl, during Super Bowl week, hey, win or lose, will you come on with us the next day? And they had some guys go, kind of waffle. They had a bunch of people say yes, and they only had like two people who were like, actually did it.
Yeah,
it's one thing to say, yeah, win or lose, I'll be there. Yeah, sure, you know me, I love your show. And then the next day they have their heart ripped out, and then they're like, ring ring, you know, the hotel phone rings at 7 a.m. and they're like, tell them I'm crying, you know. But they had him go on, and they were like, you know, but can you respect what he goes? No, I can't. I actually didn't shake hands with anybody after the game. I went straight to the tunnel. I was gone. And you're like, ooh.
But that's what you want to see, though.
I mean, love
that. At a certain point.
Yes.
So
it means they don't like each other. I like it.
A couple of things. Number one, I was a little surprised that there weren't more Utahns pulling for Coach Reed. I was a little surprised at
really?
That.
Really? Well, we had a weird mix here because we have a lot of folks who are built-in 49ers fans.
From the Steve Young days.
Yes.
But Steve Young hasn't played for years and years and years.
I mean, Steve Young probably wanted the 49ers kind of peripherally to do well. But he's also an Andy Reid guy. He's also an Andy Reid guy, too. So it's like, ask the guys who are Hall of Fame people who they want to win. And it's like, Steve Young's going, yeah, maybe I want the 49ers because they were my team. But you know, at the same time,
do you think
I like Andy Reid.
Do you think that Utahns didn't pull for – because I've got a theory. You tell me whether you think this is right. So I've got a theory. My theory is that more Utahns didn't pull for Andy Reid because –
a large cross-section of the football fans in Utah are BYU fans, and they resent the fact that Andy Reid won't coach for BYU.
Oh, won't coach for him?
Mm-hmm.
No, they know that that's an impossible get. They know that's not a possible thing.
Maybe it's not now. Maybe now that he's won the Super Bowl, he's like, sure.
I think the thing that we were talking about the other day was, and listen, let's get Andy Reid here. We'll start a GoFundMe to get $9 million a year.
To come coach for the Utes.
And look,
wouldn't that be amazing?
If he came and coached the Utes, he would never do it. Because I'm not kidding. He is like diehard BYU guy. And he even said, like, he came on our show on Cougar Sports Saturday all the time, and he'd go, look, I'm going to tell you this, and Kyle would never say it. Kyle Whittingham, talking about Kyle Whittingham. Mm-hmm. And he said, Kyle would never say this. But he's true blue through and through. He's a Cougar. he would never try to say it right now when he's in that good position up there on the hill, but he knows where the real score is. He knows what he really is. You know, and you're like, and only Andy Reid can say that, and you start to go, I think he's right. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. A guy because, who's like, you know, no, coaching him when he's at BYU.
Because you know what Kyle Whittingham loves to do is go easy on the Cougars. He's known for that, isn't he?
See, but it's
he
the
loves
thing.
To go easy on the Cougars, throttle back
himself,
a little bit.
He has to get himself excited for those games, I think, when they play BYU, because, and the thing that he has to tell himself is they lowball offered me a job, and Bronco Mendenhall took it. You know, he has to act like he was spurned, you know, by somebody. But you know, I think in the end, he'll come back.
No, no, he won't.
No, he won't.
No, he won't. He will not. But I just, and you know what else is I was surprised at how many Utahns didn't know that Andy Reid was Mormon. A lot of people didn't know that.
No,
a lot of people
for sure.
Just had no idea.
Actually converted to the church while he was at BYU and also helped Tom Holmo convert to the church.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's a whole thing there.
Yes.
So this is what I'm saying. I'm really surprised that so many people were pulling for the 49ers on Sunday and not for the Chiefs, because I kind of feel like...
Yeah, I told you. But there are a lot of people who will cheer against Andy Reid because he's a BYU guy too. You know, they're like, for sure.
But Alex Smith played for him. I mean, there's a lot of I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, that's also sent Alex Smith packing for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, that's true. But it's not like he
Which
didn't have a good run.
Okay.
It's not like
when
he didn't have a good run.
When did this turn into a sports podcast?
I just want, but this is what I wanted to bring up.
Okay,
actually,
what
it
you
didn't have
up?
To do really okay. do with so much with sports, but mm-hmm. a lot. There was kind of a thing going on social media during the Super Bowl where people were saying, "Hey, is this the diabetes guy? Does the diabetes guy coach for the Chiefs?" And of course, the diabetes guy is Wilford
Brimley.
Brimley,
also Mormon.
No, he's not.
Oh,
is
that's
he?
What we always say. I don't know.
and so
I don't know if he.
He's
not. I don't think he is.
No, he's fine. But I think. But didn't he live here for a while?
Yes, and that's why people. That's why people thought it. Right.
He and
here's my favorite thing.
Willis?
This is there's a video on YouTube of Wilford Brimley saying diabetes for 10 minutes.
Diabetes. 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 Diabetes.
Oh my goodness!
And it was so. It was so great. But of course, here's the amazing thing though. Is that Wilford Brimley himself has a blue checked account on Twitter.
I saw him respond.
And he jumped on there. He's like, nope, this is
and
me.
He said,
and I'm
he
still here.
And he even spelt it. No, I'm the diabetes guy.
And he even spelled it.
He even spelled it diabetes.
And it was just such an amazing moment because he's being introduced to a whole new generation now. Because, you know, you don't see those ads quite so much, do you?
No, no.
They're kind of a network TV phenomenon. And
you know, there's a Wilford Brimley remix on
diabetes. People with diabetes.
I can't hear this anymore. I'm just gonna watch your face.
People with diabetes. Well, if you have diabetes. Well, if you have diabetes. Well, if you have diabetes.
So now you get the vibe of it.
That's amazing. So I thought that was a great Super Bowl moment. No, Wilford Brimley's not the coach of the. Of the Chiefs.
Although it looks like it. Yeah. I mean, he has the mustache that turns down.
You can
It curves down and looks very intense.
You can see it. Yeah, you can see it for sure. For sure. Now, you hold up photos next to each other and you're like,
yeah,
okay,
you
they're different guys. But yeah, if you can see how people might make a mistake from a distance.
See, that's kind of stuff. I can always count on you to see the stuff that's beyond the pale, like stuff that just is – I wouldn't necessarily pick up during the game. Like, I'm not following that.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up seeing it later, I think, maybe the next day or something. But
And then also, I just really strongly feel like, you know, 49ers fans should really think about the fact that Colin Kaepernick probably could have won that game for him.
Okay, hold on. Hold the phone.
I just wanted to kind of point that out. So.
Wilford Brimley Wikipedia.
Anyway, let's go to break here.
Wilford Brimley Wikipedia. Wilford Brimley has supported advertisements to have Utah allow horse race gambling. He also has spoken up against branding cockfighting in New Mexico.
So he is Mormon.
Hold on. Brimley also spoke at a 1998 rally opposing Arizona ballot proposition to ban cockfighting. Jeez, this guy has got...
Well, he's taking a stand on animal rights, isn't he?
No. He's like, why are you banning cockfighting? It's one of the most amazing things. Brimley has resided in Grable, Wyoming, and Santa Clara, Utah since 2006. Brimley is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Boom.
Was?
Yeah, was. What does that mean?
Well, it means was. He's no longer.
Do you think he went in and changed it? He's all, was. Now I'm the diabetes guy.
They're soft on cockfighting. I left.
I never want to hear that combination of words ever again on this show. Okay?
All right.
I've got a commitment. We're going to come back.
I got a Zed headline. That's all. Those are all my Super Bowl observations. I just want to run through them with you.
I appreciate it. Very, very good stuff. Patrick Mahomes did well in all the 80s like sitcom guy references you can handle. Plus an appearance by pro cockfighting talk
enthusiasts.
All right. We'll come back. We got good news next. Stay with us. It's Zen Headlines on KSL's The Nightside Project. You got it.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to The Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. And every episode we do is Zen Headlines. Zen Headlines are meant to wrap up the show in a way that spreads a little bit of cheer, maybe a little bit of tender emotion. Maybe it makes you laugh. Maybe it makes you think. Maybe it's profound. Maybe it's amazing. Just, we're looking in the realm of general positivity. And if you see something out there that you'd
maybe
like to share.
Maybe it did none of those things. It just makes you forget how much you hate your life for one moment.
Just for one moment. All you San Francisco
maybe that hit too hard. Maybe that hit too close to home.
And so that's what we're doing here. So I've got a great Zen headline. This Zen headline was teed up to us courtesy of Ryan Lunt on Twitter, teed it up for us.
I saw Ryan in the building this week.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
What brought him into the building?
He attends classes, I think, next door.
Oh, good for him.
So we met up in the parking garage, made fun of you, and then split.
sounds like a great time. Really, really wish I'd been there.
Ryan's one of those smart listeners. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of them, but...
Ryan is the smart listener. Okay, so check this out.
Come on. Yeah.
Is the Zen headline music going?
Come on. Get a set of headphones. Yes.
I told you.
I know.
This is out of my control. Mm. You got to talk to your engineers, man.
Okay.
All right. The coronavirus just devastating the world right now, especially China, but it's impacting all over the world. Still not known ultimately how this is going to go, how quickly we'll be able to get effective treatment, how well we'll be able to contain it, still not a lot known. But he teed up this really interesting article that in order to deal with this outbreak, that China has opened up a new hospital.
China.
It is in the city of Wuhan.
Yeah.
And they began construction on the 24th of January, and they opened it on the 3rd of February. An entire hospital. Did you see this?
6 months?
6 days.
Oh, January.
January 24th this year.
I thought you said June.
It's 10 days.
So this is like beyond, this is like what they did for the Olympics. We need a stadium? Yeah, we got you.
We'll build it out of people tomorrow.
So this now here's... This is the amazing thing.
Did.
But see, is it amazing or did a lot of people die to make that thing happen?
I'll tell you what. Chinese authorities put a time-lapse camera on it, kind of show how quickly it can be
built.
The
shortest time-lapse camera ever.
No kidding. It goes real fast. But so I suspect that there were not many deaths. I'm showing it to you right now. There are not many deaths just because they were able to put a camera.
So they worked through the night, every night.
Yep.
So they had crews that were working all day, every day. So this changes.
It's a three-wing hospital. It's crazy.
Ethan, I had a set of blinds that tore in my house like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I haven't replaced those in my house. So,
you know, it's,
it makes me feel kind of bad.
You remember that show we all used to watch back in the day where they'd come in and fix a house for a needy family?
Yeah. And then they'd reveal, they'd pull it back, and they'd start crying.
Move that bus. Remember that? Move that bus.
And there were sometimes where families couldn't pay, like, the property taxes. They ended up getting evicted.
They'd build a whole house
in like, what was it, 6 weeks?
I can't remember.
Less.
No,
it was a month. Yeah, because they did it over, like, a month.
Did they?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. They might have had multiple.
I think it was a week. Okay. I'm remembering a week.
That's a tall order.
Hold on. Can you even remember the name of the show?
How do they set the concrete in 6 days? Can you tell me that? Yeah, it's called Extreme Makeover. Extreme House Makeover.
Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Home Edition with Ty Pennington.
Extreme Makeover.
Don't look it up. Edition. Don't look up.
Well,
how
it's
long
too
it
late.
Took.
I'm already looking it up. I'm not going to read through
don't.
This. All right. Anyway, the point is that the Chinese. What the Chinese did is more amazing. But see, the communists have always been good at that, though, that kind of mass mobilization of people.
But here's I was going to say, the amount of human rights violations that happened in that six-day span,
it's unknowable. It's unknowable.
How'd you get that to... They didn't have enough rebar. They're like, we have our own rebar. The bones of the proletariat. Isn't that what you... That sounds very, very much Ethan Millard.
Yeah. it's the bones of the bourgeoisie.
Yeah. I don't know what the, but see, again, how does, like, they must have, they poured concrete. How does it set in 6 days? Like, how is it
cured?
Hey,
you know what? You're asking some great questions.
I don't know. Does it? Like, do they have quick setting concrete that goes in 6 days?
Dear Google.
Don't do it.
Set concrete for a building in six days?
Love Ethan Millard. What do they say?
How long after a foundation is poured can you build?
And what they say?
What
they say?
Well, just give me a second, all right?
We got the music.
I also misspelled. I said, can you cert conteat for a bulsing in six?
And they got it, though, right?
They nailed it.
That's why it's
just give me a second, all right?
Okay. I still think I can probably find it faster.
Well, you're welcome to, but guess what? You're not. So, poured concrete establishes about half of its final strength after about 1 week of curing.
Oh, there you go. Half of its strength.
While full strength does not occur for 28 to 60 days, depending on conditions, the building process can begin when the foundations are about 50% cured.
So 2 to 4 weeks is what this one says. Those people are walking on... They're walking on...
It's a time bomb.
Yeah.
It's a time bomb.
Bad deal. All right.
But I thought it was worthy of a Zen headline because, you know, build a hospital in 10 days? Pretty cool.
Pretty awesome.
It's not like tents. In the U.S., we would have just built tents. We would have looked at it and been like, let's just put up really nice tents. But these guys built a building. That's
all right.
Awesome.
We want to thank you for listening to the program today. We hope that none of you died in the making of a hospital or from the coronavirus. So for Ethan Millard, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for being with us. The Nightside Project podcast, you can download it. You can subscribe. You can tell a friend, teach a neighbor what a podcast is. We'll see you then, everybody.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.